The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
We talk about the mind. Mind matters right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We have Ms. Lisa Dukey, counseling psychologist, as we talk today about coping with stress and dealing with different seasons of life. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning and welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Tosca. I am fine, and how are you?
I am great. Dealing with the stresses of life.
So let's... And good morning to those who are tuned in to the program.
So let's get into the first question. Many people are feeling the rising costs of living. How can individuals manage financial stress without becoming overwhelmed?
Before I get into answering that question, I think it's important to just give a little brief explanation or description of what really is stress, because we tend to use that word frivolously. And sometimes we really need to ask ourselves, is it really stress we're talking about? So on a daily basis, life challenges us. We might be on our way to a meeting, we get into traffic with deadlines, somebody give you a bad drive, or you might have an interview with Tosca live on 106.
And that's not stressful.
And it might feel like it's stressful. Mm-hmm. But how do we determine that something is stressful? It is the individual's perception of the event, whatever the event is. So if that, let's talk about the brain for a minute. The brain, our brains, I should say, functions in such a way, it sort of listens to our body. So if you are faced with a challenging situation and you tell yourself that, you know what, I can't deal with this, you know, and the brain gets that message, then the brain starts to, the fight or flight experience comes in. So the brain starts to say, okay, all right. So you start, that's when you start to experience the physical or physiological aspects of the experience. So in general, stress affects us both on an emotional level and on a physical level. But it has to do with the individual's perception of the event. So let's get back to the question that you just asked. Mm-hmm. You asked about the financial, the yep. rising cost in living.
Many people are feeling the rising cost of living and people under stress. How can individuals yes. manage financial stress without becoming overwhelmed?
Well, one of the first things as individuals we need to do is we need to understand what is within our locus of control and what is not within our control. So prices in the supermarkets, things are going up. Today you go to the supermarket, you pay $5 for something. Next week you pay $10. Can you do anything about that? I'll give you a personal example. I needed to buy a part for my washer. And about 2 months ago, I was told to call a specific establishment. They told me it was $4.50 for the part. I called just a couple of days ago. They told me it was $4.50. And I called, when I called back, they told me it was $5.50. I said, but 2 months ago it was $4.50. Why, what is the reason for it went up by $100? But do I have control over that? No. What do I do? Do I not buy the part? And do I go back to, do I go find a river and do my laundry at the river? Get a stone and, no. One of the main things we need to do is to reframe the way that we think and perceive things. That's one of the ways. Because, no, I'm not an economist, so I can't speak about, I can't tell anybody here about I can't talk about the financial aspect of it, but in terms of the cycle, the mental health aspect of it, what I can see is there are things that you can do. Once you determine that something is out of your control, you cannot change what is happening economically in the country right now. What you need to do is to try to stay ahead of the game. Don't allow yourself to get to a point where you're not able to cope at all. Now, stress on the whole is something that most persons find, or they would describe as something that they cannot, whatever the event is, they will tell you, I can't deal with this. I don't know. Tell yourself that, especially for that question, you're not alone. Most of us are feeling the brunt of what is happening. So there are things that you can do in the meantime for free. Make sure and get some exercise in. Do some breathing exercises. And most importantly, Tosca, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't seeing you anymore. Yes. Try to work on your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you perceive the event as something that you do not have, that you cannot cope with, that is when the body is going to read that as you are under stress. And that's when you're going to feel the psychological and physiological aspect of the experience. So to avoid that, try to stay ahead of the game.
All right. So, but how can you stay ahead of the game in terms of financial stress? I would think if you realize, let's say, some product that you buy all the time in the grocery costs $5 more, and you do that so you don't have to buy it anymore. I guess that will be one way of dealing with the stress. This is a time of a lot of transitions, especially for younger listeners. What are some simple coping strategies for students starting a new school year or adjusting to a new environment?
For children who are, for the younger ones who are entering new schools, parents would need to play a very important role here. So I would say parents need to communicate with your children. Find out how they feel about entering this new environment, where more than likely they may have written SEA and they're entering a new school where they don't know anyone. So in a lot of cases, there is the fear of the unknown. So some of the things parents can do, school is out now, take a drive by the school, try to show them different routes to the school, while passing by the school, make it an exciting experience. So if there are the siblings in a car, give them a round of applause and say, oh yeah, Jane, this is your school, this is look at your school, you know, and make it exciting for them. If on the day that school, that the first day of school, if you are allowed, walk them to the classroom. But before you even get there, before school opens, do some role playing with them at home. Teach them how to approach a stranger, how to say hello to someone, because some of them may be so, what's the word I'm looking for? They may be so fearful of the unknown that they may be scared of rejection. So what if I walk up to that person and say hello and try to make friends with that person and the person rejects me? So what do I do? So do some role playing at home. Encourage them to get involved in extracurricular activities in school. In that way, they would be able to make more friends, for want of a better term. What is important, do not dismiss their feelings. Listen to them. If you feel that what you are doing is not helping, that's when you may need to seek professional help for them. But that's a long way off. Don't wait for it to get out of hand. Start from now. Your child's mental health is more important than your ego. So don't tell your child things like, you know, when I was your age, I used to do this, I used to do that, and no. Listen without judgment. We're no longer encouraging persons we no longer say things like, girl, just suck it up and stop complaining. Be grateful for what you have. No, listen without judgment. And if you feel that this child is not, if you're getting a sense that this child is going to have problems, seek professional help. And since we're talking about the rising costs of living, if you cannot afford to pay for the professional help, there are places like Childline and Lifeline that where you can get you can get help without having to pay for it.
So some resources in there as well to adjust how to deal with the stress of entering a new space and a new school. How can people tell when everyday stress is starting to become something more serious?
Yes, that is that's a tricky one. Right? This may sound a bit paradoxical, but there is actually something called positive stressor. There is a positive side to stress. And when I was talking just now about how the brain and your thinking works, so sometimes, let's take for instance, you're going to write an exam or you're going for a job interview, you're an athlete, you're going to run a race. And in your mind, you start to think a particular way that sends a signal to the brain that, okay, this person is having some issues. So the brain sends out the neurotransmitters that is responsible for the rapid rapid heartbeat, etc. Like that. One can use that as an opportunity to feel like, okay, I'm getting some adrenaline here, so I could take off like Usain Bolt or Jerome Richards. On the other hand, stress becomes distress when it is going on for a prolonged period of time. You're overwhelmed about something, and because usually, depending on the situation, something might be stressing you out, and you're able to, within a couple of days, you might talk to a friend, you might listen to a podcast, and you're able to overcome it. But when it becomes chronic, that is when problems start. And what you're going to notice, how you're going to know that it is becoming a problem, you're going to start having things like, you're not going to be able to sleep. You may have loss of appetite. You may find yourself snapping at others. You're getting angry over trivial things. And then eventually you yourself might start to feel ill. You can develop things like high blood pressure, heart problems. And you may even develop mental health disorders such as depression and anxiety. And that's because the stress that you're under, it is going on for a prolonged period of time. Your body is constantly under stress, and it is going to take a toll on your body and mind. So look out for those things. The loss of appetite, most importantly, is that snapping at others. So you're snapping at your husband, you're snapping at your wife, you're snapping at your children, your co-workers, your neighbors. And in most cases, the behavior doesn't really coincide with the activating event. So, as I said earlier, you're getting angry over trivial things. Yeah?
All right. So let me take in a quick break. And then when we come back, the next question will be, when things do get tough, support becomes so important. What role do community and support systems play in helping us cope with challenging times? All right, so we're dealing with challenging times, how we deal with stress. Inside Mind Matters this morning. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
With 20 minutes to go to your news update in TNT, compliments CNC3, we will be returning to Mind Matters right here on Freedom 106.5 FM with our guest this morning as we're talking about dealing with stress. We already know the changing times and the economic situation that is in the country at the point in time. And this is just to give you some tips on how to deal with that. We have Miss Lisa Dukey, counseling psychologist, online at the moment. And just before the break, we took in the question, you know, how can we deal, or how does support play an important role when dealing with tough times? What role do community and support systems play in helping us cope with challenging times? Miss Dukey, welcome back.
Thank you, Tasca. Yes, so when we talk about community support, we are talking about entities such as churches or religious organizations, I should say, community centers, youth groups, and even persons who we can consider role models. So let's go back to the religious organizations. Now, we know that most of these those entities that I just outlined there, they rely heavily on donations, and especially the churches and religious organizations, they also rely on offerings. But these are places where one can go to get help both, whether it is however small financially, food, clothing, at the community centers, they, as for now, school is out, parents are working, they may not be able to afford to pay to send their child or children to vacation camp. So some of the community centers are, or I know that for a fact that they are offering programs, and it's free of charge, where they have volunteers there that who do things with these children. The youth groups, same thing, they do things with the teenagers. And this is important because some of these youth groups are actually part of the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service. So you have places like the St. Joseph Police Youth Club, where if persons need help, they can go. And there are other community youth groups that persons can go and get help. And most importantly, keep the teenagers out of trouble, because we don't want them on the streets hanging around bad company. And what some of these community centers do, they bring in what we call, who they consider role models, to speak with the younger ones and keep them on their feet. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy for persons to approach a religious organization or a community center or any other. There are other small groups throughout different communities that are trying their best to help with things like getting school books, uniforms for children, for underprivileged, for persons who cannot afford right now, because we know for a fact that persons have lost their jobs. So persons, if we go back to the first question that you asked me about the financial, what is happening? The reason why I did not really stress too much on the financial is because I am not a financial
advisor.
So I didn't want to delve too much. I wanted to stay within my my field. So in psychology, what we call this is psychosocial support. When things like the youth groups and the community centers, churches, when these institutions get involved in helping people, we refer to it as psychosocial support. Now, one of the things I would like to say is, for persons who, this is just one little thing I would add with regards to the financial question. It might be within your best interest if you have lost your job or you're unable to pay your loans or whatever you have outstanding. It might be beneficial to approach the financial institution. Or you might be owing a friend, or you might be owing a family member. It's better if you, it works better if you pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I haven't forgotten that I borrowed your $500. And I promised you that I was going to pay you I would pay you this Friday, but I'm really not in a position to pay you. Don't just ignore and behave as though you just don't care that you borrowed the person money and you don't want to pay them back. Likewise, for financial institutions, if you have whatever documentation you may have to show or to back up your story, to show that, hey, it's not that I don't want to pay my loan, it's not that I don't want to pay my mortgage, but I am unfortunately, I lost my job and I don't have much of a saving. So can you please keep this on file? Give me some time. I'm trying to get a new job. Don't let your pride hold you back from seeking help. As I said earlier, these services are free. Childline, Lifeline, these youth clubs, the community centers, all these things are free.
And how can we build resilience and maintain our mental well-being during periods of uncertainty?
Well, resilience is a person's ability to adapt to challenging situations. So in order to build resilience and bounce back, you have to focus on, try to, as I mentioned the word earlier, reframe, which basically means rethink. You're rethinking. You think differently. So focus on productive action in the midst of whatever difficult situation. And you said it earlier. I didn't want to say it again because, again, I'm not an agriculturist. But what you said in terms of persons planting their own food or persons doing things. If you're accustomed eating out three times for the week, maybe you just need to cut back, right? But that's more that I'm answering two questions at the same time here. But to go back to the main question of resilience, it all starts with your thinking. You have to keep telling yourself that I can do this. No matter whatever I am facing, I can do this. And that's where the reframing of the thoughts. So you have to focus on what is in your control. You cannot go to the supermarket and beat up the manager or whoever and tell them, bring that item back down to $5. I can't go to the establishment and tell them, drop that part back down to $4.50. That is out of my control. So I now have to make a decision whether I want to buy it or not. So focus on what is in your control. Make connections. So you can, when I say make connections, I mean, you know, unfortunately, we have adopted the Western world culture where we live in communities and we don't even know who lives next door to us. We don't even know our neighbor's name. So you're living in a community and you don't know anyone. But it's important. It's a good idea to reach out. I'm not saying to go around the entire community and beg everybody for a cup of rice and a cup of this and whatever. No, but reaching out, making connections can help you develop a support system if you don't already have one. And every so often, reward yourself for small accomplishments. And basically, that can help you become a resilient person, because now it would help you be able to adapt to change, because that is one of the things that causes stress. Person, when things change, people are afraid
of change.
Change is something that we all tend to have issues with. So
basically taking time for yourself as well to manage that stress is also recommended, be it if it is you're listening to music or taking a drive. Those are ways to manage stress, yes?
Oh, yes. Well, coping the coping mechanisms, mm-hmm. in terms of the coping mechanisms, there are a number of things you can do. Practice slow, deep breathing. Well, as you said, taking a drive, a long drive, listen to some music if that is available to you.
Yoga.
Depending on the situation. If it's something at work and you're overwhelmed because it's so much, try to see if you can break up that task into smaller chunks, or should I say more manageable chunks. Another thing that is important is learn to say no. N-O, capital N-O, to some demands. Some of us don't know how to say no. So, and that's a whole different topic, because there's a psychological reason for that in most cases. But learn to say no, because sometimes you just take one thing over the next, and things just build one on top of the other. And then before you know it, it's taken a toll on you. Mm-hmm. Exercise is very important. It's very, very, very important here, because when you exercise, your body releases what we call neurotransmitters, and some of the neurotransmitters that it releases, it helps to pump up the system. It releases the good neurotransmitters, the neurotransmitters that help you mm-hmm. to feel good. So exercise is very good. Nourishment. I know, yes, prices are high, but try as much as possible to stay away from the junk and try to eat as healthy as you can. I know that is not easy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And make time for recreation. Even if you don't have the financial resources to do the things that you really, really like to do, we live in a beautiful island. We have beautiful beaches. People would be surprised at how many things you can do, how many nice and enjoyable things you can do in Trinidad for free.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the beach.
Well, I mean, as much as we're talking about, you know, the stress of financial stress, there's also the security stress, and those things that are free may be free, but the security is just not there as it used to be. Ms. Dookie, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and giving us, you know, those tips and perspectives on how to deal with stresses, and especially how to deal with change. We've got a couple more minutes before the news update at the top. Yeah, so thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tosca.
All right. And I'll see you next week.
Okay, sure.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.